Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? The church is doing a series now called One Thing. I hope you have not forgotten. And today I'm going to share with you from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And this text is about the story of Mary and Martha. During my preparation for this sermon, I researched in the internet how this sermon is preached. And here are the few examples of the title of the sermons. Number one, Mary or Martha, which are you? Is it works or worship? And another one says, don't just do something. Sit there. Sit at the feet of Jesus. As I began to study this passage deeply, I realized that it is not either works or worship. It is not asking us to be Mary or Martha, but rather, it is actually both. It is like two sides of the coin. They are not mutually exclusive of one another. The lesson here in Luke chapter 10 is about priorities. Everybody say priorities. Priorities. So let us read the passage together. This thing is not working. Can you please help me, Carol? Can you see? Is the new projector better than the old one? Yes, huh? Hallelujah. Let us thank the deacons for fixing this. They have worked very hard to do a research. Let us give them an applause, okay? Let me read the text to you to save time. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, take note that it is Jesus and his disciples. They were on the way and they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And Jesus and his disciples were on the way to Jerusalem for some kind of feast. And they came to a village, and this village is likely to be Bethany. We don't have time to go into this. Doesn't matter, but you just take it from me that this place is Bethany. And this person by the name of Martha, she opened her home to Jesus and his disciples. She showed hospitality. How many of you know that opening your home to 13 people is not easy? It takes a hospitable person to do that. And Martha, as we can see here, is a hospitable person. And the Bible says that Martha had a sister called Mary. And in the house, Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet. Listen to what Jesus had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister had left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary had chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Can I have the next slide, please? This story, in summary, is a story about two sisters by the name of Martha and Mary. And these two sisters have very different personality. As you have listened just now, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus listening to his teaching, while Martha makes preparation to serve her guests. And sometimes in just one passage, we cannot establish something to say that someone is like this or someone is like that. But fortunately, this story actually has a mirror image. It's not the same occasion. It's a different occasion. But there is a mirror image in John chapter 4. At that time in Bethany, Jesus was already going to the cross. And again, Martha hosted Jesus and his disciples. And what Martha did at that time was that Martha was serving dinner to Jesus and the disciples. Again, she showed her gifting of being a hospitable person. While Mary, again, at the same time, the Bible tells us that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, anointing Jesus' feet with oil, and she was washing, she was cleaning the feet of Jesus with her hair. I don't know how this is done and why she didn't use a cloth, but that was what the Bible has told us. The two occasions had given us an idea of what each of them is more inclined to. Martha is more inclined to doing things with her hand. Her gifting, her comfort zone is probably in the kitchen preparing food and serving and to make his guests feel at home. While Mary perhaps is a person who prefers to sit at the feet of the master, listening keenly, want to listen to what the master has to say. She is probably a learner, a ponderer, or a thinker. Both are different. They serve the Lord differently. But Jesus commended Mary for her action. In Luke chapter 10, verse 42, in that phrase, Jesus said, Mary had chosen what is better. Mary had chosen what is better. This is intriguing. Both were serving the Lord, albeit in a different way. But Jesus commended Mary. If I were Mary, probably I would feel very shocked, you know. The Lord commended me. Oh, I did the right thing, you know. Feeling shocked. Next slide, please. But let me tell you, okay, this is my opinion. In all likelihood, Mary perhaps didn't know, she didn't have an inclination before that her action would have earned her praise from the Lord. She was perhaps just being herself. That's her nature. She's a listener, she's a ponderer, she's a learner, she's just being herself. And Martha too. Perhaps she was just being herself. And the Lord didn't praise her. Let me suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, there is no problem with Mary nor Martha. The problem is not them. We must read this text very carefully to understand the pattern of what Jesus always do, because that is going to give us a clue of how and what Jesus is doing in every circumstance. Can I have the next slide, please? Jesus was perhaps doing the Jesus thing here. You know what Jesus often do? Jesus uses circumstances in life to teach important lessons. Do you agree with that? Because 90% of the time when we read the four Gospels, this is how it is played out. Jesus uses circumstances to teach life principles. In a very few occasions did Jesus deliver sermon. Only one time where he preached the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. That was a long sermon. But out of that time, many other times, Jesus taught through circumstances in life. And let me suggest to you, church, that Jesus is still teaching in this manner today. If we are paying attention to Jesus, you will be able to hear Jesus teach you from Monday to Sunday. As soon as you step out from this church, God does not stop teaching and preaching, but God teaches us even at the lunch table. Because God now has lived in us. And he continues to teach. We will be able to hear God if we pay close attention in our situation, in our everyday life and circumstance, because Jesus is sitting there. Jesus is there. And he is always teaching us something. Next slide. So, therefore, hence, it is not that Mary is better than Martha. The passage is also not saying that word or worship is better than work. It is all about doing the right thing in a given situation. Let me say that again. It is not that word or worship is better than works. It is about doing the right thing in a given situation. It's not about the next slide, please. It's not about personality. It is about priority. This is the lesson of this passage. Again, if you read this passage very carefully, Mary was actually helping Martha. Maybe in the kitchen or somewhere, I don't know. It wasn't said in the Bible. But as soon as Jesus began to teach, Mary went and sat at the feet of Jesus. I think if you were Mary, that is perhaps the most apt, most natural thing to do at that moment. To give the guests an audience. She was perhaps also following her inkling. It's her nature, her comfort zone. But you know what I really believe? I really believe that Mary, at that moment, the Holy Spirit might have led her to do something that she herself may not even be aware of. I think if you are honest and you know that many times the Holy Spirit has led you or leads you to do things that you don't even know that this is God's will. But this is how it works in the kingdom of God. Because we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And the Holy Spirit helps us to navigate our life into the will of God. So Jesus used that circumstance, orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, recorded in the Bible, for us to learn a very important principle. It's not bashing Martha. It's not putting someone on a higher pedestal. But Jesus recorded this story for us, so that we can learn a very important principle about priorities. Let me have the next slide, please. Priorities. What are priorities? Priorities or priority is doing what matters most to God in a particular situation. It is knowing what is God's prime concern and do it. In another words, it is the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God. The perfect will of God at that moment was for Mary and Martha to sit at the feet of Jesus. Because Martha can always prepare the food every day, can serve other guests, and can serve until kingdom come. But they will not always have Jesus to be in their house. That was the right thing to do at that particular moment, to give airtime to Jesus. Next slide, please. The perfect will of God. How many of you here always know the perfect will of God? I see some of you shake your head. I think you are just being very honest with yourself. You know, my brothers and sisters, life presents us with many challenges. Every day we are faced with challenges. from the moment we open our eyes, or even when we go to bed, sometimes we have challenges, we cannot sleep. Full of challenges, full of problems, full of issues in life. We have big, we have small decisions to make almost on a daily basis. And some decisions are not easy to make because it will have an extended or large, big implications. And because of that, we are constantly worried about making wrong decisions. Are you worried? But over here, Jesus simplified for us. It is as if God is filtering so many things through a funnel and actually reduce it to just a few things. Jesus said, in life, there are few things that are needed. He didn't say what are the few things. But we would understand that really, in life, only very few things matter. For example, God matters. If you do not have God in your life, today you need to give your life to Jesus because that is the thing that really matters in your life. All else are not that important. Family is important. Relationship. Are important because relationship counts for eternity. You will part with your money and your BMW and your car and your house when you leave this earth. But relationships will continue. Somebody once said that if you cannot forgive a person, or if you harbor hatred for this person, when you go to heaven, most likely that you will be living beside this person. Because there is an unfinished business that God wants you to do. Because relationship matters to God. And out of these many things, few things that Jesus talked about that are important. In fact, there is only one. It is one thing that matters. And this one thing is the will, the perfect will of God. When you go through a situation, perhaps you are going through a situation now, and you are here and you did not know that I will be speaking about this topic. You are worried because you know that you have to make a decision. My brothers and sisters, some decisions are very easy to make. Like for example, if you want to know the will of God, whether you should steal or not, that's a very easy decision to make. Because it is very clear that God does not want you to steal. But sometimes it is not as clear as that. And many times, my brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to you today, standing shoulder to shoulder, and I can tell you that I've been following Christ for 30 years and I struggle in knowing God's will. I'm just being very honest with you. I feel very dumb many times. I do not always know what God's will is. But let me comfort you with these words. And today, this passage has taught us something so, so important. That Mary didn't even know that she was doing the perfect will of God. In all likelihood. And in another passage in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 16, this passage is very familiar to us. Jesus was asking his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" The disciples said, "Some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah." I don't care what other people say, but what do you say I am? Simon Peter, the man with the big mouth, say, "You are Messiah, the Christ." And Jesus just immediately applauded him. And remember what Jesus said. "Simon Peter, it is not flesh and blood that reveals to you this thing, but it was revealed to you by my Father in heaven." Do you get what I'm saying? When you are going through a situation in your life and you do not know what God's will is, what His perfect will is, God will speak to you. It is not a coincidence that Psalm 40 was shared by Raymond today. That we have to wait, and God will speak. God will respond. Because God will give us that perfect wisdom at that moment that will change the trajectory of our life, shift from something that is going towards darkness into light. God is capable. God is able. And God wants to do it for us. Know the heart of the Father, church. We are not so clever, so smart, so intelligent, but God is, because He will reveal to us through the Holy Spirit that situation that seemed dark. God will give us a revelation and it will change the course of our life. I'm not talking nonsense. I'm not sharing with you something that I have not experienced, church. I'm not cleverer than you. I'm not holier than you. I stand shoulder to shoulder with you. But if God can do this for Mary, for Simon Peter, God can do it for us. To have the right answer, to know the will of God at that moment, God can and God will do it for us. And I want to conclude by sharing this story. And you know that I really do not like to talk about myself. I have told Raymond that as much as possible when I preach here, I do not want to talk about myself because I do not want to glorify me. There's nothing in me that can be glorified. Everything of me is by the grace of God. You don't know my life. You can't see what's in my heart. But I can tell you that it is by the grace of God that I am what I am. I am not clever at all. I was in Nepal. Last Saturday, the service in Nepal is on Saturday, not on Sunday. I was invited to speak in Peace Church. Peace Church is a Tibetan church in Kathmandu. That's where the church that was started by Pastor Kelsang and Sering. When I went to Peace Home, I sensed the atmosphere was so heavy. Something is not right. Something amiss in that situation. Nevertheless, God gave me a message. I wouldn't say that God spoke to me through thunder and loud voice or anything. It's just putting a message in my heart that I just share in obedience. And I just share as per normal. There's nothing. No thunder or lightning. People don't fall over or anything. But after that message, the leaders came up to me and said that God has spoken to you, through you, into our situation. That was that message that the church needed to hear. And it has happened time and time again. It's not that I am clever or anything. It's just that I just avail myself. God, I am nothing. Without you, I'm nothing. The life that I have, the life that I live, God, I will do my best to serve you. I know that it is not always that I give my all to you. But I strive. I try, God, to serve you, to love you. To love your people, to serve them to the best of my ability. And as I begin to do that, I see God's workings. There's a word of wisdom for you, church. God uses a moving vessel. I say that again. God uses a moving vessel. If you are a person that just want to sit there and do nothing, God, there is all likelihood that God cannot use you. But if you are a person who is going all out for God, even though you don't know, you don't understand a lot of things, but you only seek to want to please God and do His will. As you begin to go, as you begin to move, the Holy Spirit will guide you into the perfect will of God. This is how it works in kingdom life. God uses not a stationary vessel, but a moving vessel. This is what it is. Pastor Kelsang passed away tragically. We were so saddened and did not understand why God took him away. And Sering, the wife, who have never stood behind the pulpit to preach, had to now come and take the lead in the church. Many people look down on her. Many people felt that she is incompetent. But let me tell you that God doesn't think so. She was heartbroken. A group from her church, young people, whom the church had invested money and time, Pastor Kelsang had discipled them, gave them opportunities. When their parents died, they took them into the home and gave them education. Just walk out from the church. It was like a knife that has been stabbed into her heart. It was betrayal. At that moment, she was very shaken. That she just wanted to leave the ministry and go to India. But God came and God spoke to the word that they must stay. Because God is going to prosper them. The future glory will be even greater than the former one. That sharing is going to take leadership by the power of Jesus Christ. And she's going to lead the church and peace home. Let's pray, brothers and sisters. Father, I pray for your people. They may be going through situations, Lord, that are very challenging. There seems to be no answers. There seems to be no direction that they can see for them in future. Father, I pray for those who are like that today, this morning, that just like you have revealed to Simon Peter, just like you have revealed to Mary, that you will give your people a revelation, a thought that comes from heaven, that will bring light and clarity into that situation, that they will be able to see, that the path will be lit up to see the direction, Lord. I pray for your power, for your spirit to come and change the trajectory. Bring them, Lord, into your perfect will. Thank you, Father. I know that you are a loving God. As Psalm 40 was shared today, Lord, you have taught us to be patient, to ask, be patient, and wait. Lord, you will respond. You will deliver. You will give us a direction. Because you are a good, good Father. Good. You are so good, God. That's what you are. That's you, Father. Reveal it to your sons and your daughters. I pray and I ask, God.
in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pray for you. I do not normally do this, but I just want to pray for you. I just want to stand here and just to be available to cry with you. I don't have the answer, but I am confident that my God has the answer. I can pray with you. So I just want to give you an example, an opportunity to respond to the message today. If you think that God has spoken to you, I do not know anything that you are going through. But as I prepare this message, I know that God wants to say something to some of you. So let us stand as we close, and if those of you who want to be prayed for, I will be here.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Draw me close. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm. My desire, no one else will do. Oh, no one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, Lord, help me find the way. Back to you. Yeah. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. And you're all. help me know you are near. Oh, help me know you are near. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. Spirit of the living God, rekindle the fire that burns so bright. Oh, remove every obstacle, remove every fear, remove every apathy, remove all that is not of you. Draw us closer. Lord, draw us nearer. We want to know you more. Draw us closer. Father, draw us near to your heart. To your heart. Sing it one more time. You're all I want. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. And you're all I want. Help me know you are near. If you still need prayer, you can still come out. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, for speaking to us. Lord, we ask that you will draw us near. Draw us close to you, wherever we are. God, last week you asked us to stand up, O God. But to fall is so easy, oh God. It's just one position away from standing up. So we ask, God, that you will draw us close so that we will be able to stand for you. God, we ask, oh God, that this week, oh God, that we will be hidden in you, that we will receive nourishment and strength, oh God, from your Holy Spirit, oh God. As we set aside time to seek your face, to talk to you, to present to you our hearts, God, may you just drop your word of wisdom and solution into our situations. May you turn things around, oh God, for the glory of your name, Father, as we lift up our eyes and look to you. So bless your people even as they go. Lord, may your presence, oh God, go with us, Lord. And we thank you for everything, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a wonderful week. God bless you. Yeah.